as I welcome Treasurer Bertelkamp to the show. Treasurer Bertelkamp, how you doing? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing good. Sounds like you got a spirited conversation going here.
Always, Trez. You know what, folks? Konzo Martin, you know what he's done for me? And you and I talked, you had a real open mind about this early in the season. You said, look, Tim, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm busy with work stuff. I haven't been to many practices. I haven't been to any practices, but I have an open mind. You know what I see from this guy? I see a team. I'm going to give you a couple observations. I want your thoughts. His guys like him. They play very hard for him. He's given me hope, Bert, for the future. I see, when I think of him and I think of his regime and I see how these kids have responded to him and I see Stokes, Bert, I have hope that we're heading back to where we were. Your thoughts?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Getting Stokes was a major coup, I won't say a coup, but just a major point that makes a huge difference. If you're able to sign that high quality a player, then you're going to be able to sign more of them. And the first one's the hardest. And he was able to get Jarnell, and he's allowed him to play. He put him right into the mix once Jarnell proved he was in shape, and he's a difference maker. And he had a tough night over at Vandy, but he still had 10 rebounds, and he'll learn from that experience. But getting the first major recruit is the hard one, and there'll be players follow Jarnell. Who they are, I have no idea. But they will follow him, and I think we're going to get players in here. And that's the question. I have no doubt that he can coach them. Getting the players is the difference between a top 20 program and not being a top 20 program. Simple as that.
There's no doubt about it. But you know what I've seen, Bert, from this guy? Is I've seen somebody who can take what he has and develop them. And he told us early on, he said, look, he said, my philosophy is that I'm going to get guys who are going to be, by and large, four-year players here. We're going to develop them, and we're going to have a program. And if you look at what he's done early on, there are some kids in here that, Richardson, for instance, he was an overlooked guy. They picked up in the spring, late in the deal. Looks to me, Bert, like he can play. And if you can go out and you can add another one next year, like Richardson, the deal's going to be, though, do you think Golden can be a point guard here? And I trust you, and you speak honestly. Have you seen enough from him to think that he can be a point guard here long term?
I honestly think he's more of a two guard than a point guard. Right now, he's the best we've got. I think that Konzo would like to get a point guard and maybe let Trey be a backup. But we don't have anybody else that can play that point. But he's not the prototypical point guard. He's not the point guard that Konzo's going to look for long term. And he's going to look for more of a defender and a ball distributor and a pass first kind of guy. And Trey is doing the best he can. He's not a great defender. I think he's getting better in that area. But he's more of a scorer, and I think he can help the team more as a two. But he's having to play the point. And he's had his ups and downs, frankly, and he's been a little bit tweaked, his ankle, somewhat. I don't know how bad that is, but, it depends on how the recruiting goes. If he brings in a better point guard, then I think that's who will be the point guard, and Trey will play more at the two.
Yeah, and it's a real conundrum for him right now because he's got a full roster. And so what happens from here going forward, in terms of, you would have to think that something's going to open. They've got to go find somebody else to take some pressure off. Because I feel sorry for Golden, as you said, because he's obviously a two-guard playing point guard, because it's such a natural deal. And all Tennessee is one competent, consistent, natural point guard away, Bert. If they added that piece, I mean, can you imagine how good this front line is? How good this front line could be, with just a heartbeat, just a pumping heart in there to feed these guys the basketball. This team next year could be absolutely lights out, Bert, if you added that piece.
I agree. We need to We need to be better on the perimeter, though, all the way around, Tony. We need to be consistent, somebody to consistently score from the perimeter. It really hurt us at Vandy. We made one three-pointer, I think, really one perimeter shot, and it was after the game was decided. The point guard is the number one need, I believe, but we need to and I think the players will improve. As far as opening up potential holes that we need to fill, you don't know what's going to happen, who's gonna decide that maybe they can't play at this level, and you know, so things do change. I don't know how good this kid coming in from that went to Clemson is, that's transferring, that's going to be eligible next year. I don't know if he's the answer or not. Wes Washburn, he's got a long way to go with his offense, but he can do the defensive side of it and the toughness side of it. But I don't know if he's – it depends on how much his offense improves. And it's not necessarily shooting. It's getting the team in the offense, running the offense, making good decisions. And he's had opportunities, and he's really good on one end of the floor, but not as good on the other. So but a lot can change. I mean, look how things have changed. Who would have
Absolutely.
Ever dreamed that we'd have a guy like Stokes in the lineup for pretty much for the SEC and making our front line go from being maybe a 6 or a 7 to potentially a 9 or a 10 as far as how good they are. But you got to be able to stick those outside shots, or people are just going to gang up on them inside like Vandy did.
Bert, you've been around here a long time. You played in the program. You are a historian of sorts of the program. Where, based on what you've seen from Stokes right now, we're trying. People are saying he's the best signee since. He's the most impactful signee in this program since. Some people say they go back as far as Dale Ellis. Do you buy that? Where do you put him right now?
I think he's. I think if you go back that far and you go back a little bit further, Ernie Grunfeld had a huge impact. I mean, he was first team All SEC as a freshman. Bernard King was All American as a freshman. So it's hard to see Jarnell having more of an impact than those two guys. But when you look at Dale didn't have a great freshman year. He didn't play a lot. It was more probably, I don't know what the reason, maybe more of a defensive situation. Plus, we had a really good inside game with Howard Wood and Reggie Johnson. But Dale was an unbelievable player for us. And you got to put him in that category. Allen Houston scored a bunch of points, but I think Stokes can have more of an impact on the whole team and making the whole team better than Allen did. So I put him right up there with the top, you know, top players we've ever had since I've been watching and paying attention. And he's just getting started. I think he's going to get better and better and better. He had a real tough experience over at Vandy. They playing against a really good team, a really good front line. They got physical with him. They put a lot of pressure on him. And I listened to Kevin Stallings on the radio yesterday coming home, and he said on purpose they did what they did. They threw a lot of different looks at him, and he likened it to playing against a rookie quarterback. You just throw everything at them, but knowing that they haven't seen these things before, and it worked in their benefit. He turned the ball over. They stripped him a few times, and he had a tough night, but he'll learn from that, and he can be a dominating player, no doubt. So I can't say enough good things about him. He's got a lot of playing to do to be, though, as good as Ernie and Bernard were and Dale. But he certainly has the potential.
I like him because off the court, he's a great kid and he plays chess. We talked with Bert Bertelkamp on the program. Speaking of chess, do you think that was a intentional deal early in that game when Azili grabbed him and they fouled him hard? And it looked like they tried to rattle him. And then he went back and grabbed him again. Or do you think that was just personal frustration or a personal challenge that Azili was issuing after seeing this kid on film? Because it's obvious what the kid did against Kentucky, what he did against supposed NBA-caliber players against UConn, and it looked like you could see a guy taking that personally there.
I think they came at him. I don't know. you know, from the location we have at Vandy, it's hard to really see a lot. It's really, really bad. We're down below the floor. But I saw the time in the first half when they both ended up on the ground and they were bumping and pushing a little bit. And I think Stokes was telling him, I am not going to back down no matter what you do. And I'm ready for you. And I think Azealy was messing with him. He was talking to him, you know, laughing and smiling and kind of, I don't know, picking on him is the right word, but definitely challenging him, mentally. And I don't think, and I think he got to Jarnell a little bit. He got a little bit out of his game, rushed a few things, and I don't think that'll happen again, but there's no doubt in my mind they came at him and they figured, you know, and it's smart, you know. You get him out of playing his game and you got a much better chance of beating Tennessee. So it was smart, and Azealy has been known to play that way anyway. He gets really physical and he borderline, I won't say dirty, but a little bit of a thug at times.
Hey, listen, I like a dirty player. Hey, listen, when Yemi did his little deal late in the game, okay, that doesn't bother me to show a little emotion out there, to show a team that you got to play again. Hey, we got your number. When you come into our gym, we're going to be ready for you. Do you think there's anything wrong with that, Bert?
No. And I didn't see the Yemi thing at all. People that saw it on TV said it wasn't as bad as, you know, as maybe people thought it was. But you got to stand up for yourself. When you go on the road, you're going to be challenged. People are going to be talking to you, both fans and the other team's players. They're going to try to intimidate you, especially when you're young. And you got to bow up. You got to show them that even though they got the best of us, you're not backing down from them. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, I don't like some real dirty play if a guy's going to the basket and he's up in the air, you know, undercutting him or something where a guy could get hurt. But as far as that banging back and forth and holding your own and letting them know you're not going to be trampled on, I like that. I think you got to be that way. If you're not going to be that way, you better find another league to play in.
Bert, I thank you. I appreciate your passion. You're a great representative of God and Tennessee in this community. You make it a better place to live, as I always tell you. And thanks for your work as treasurer on behalf of the team we're putting together. Thank you, Bert.
I appreciate all the nice things you say. Probably nicer than I deserve, but I enjoy being on, and have a great day.
Amen. Have a Dwight Gooden. Bert Bertelkamp, one more time.